Indeed, the word of the Lord is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Amen.
Amen.
So, the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about things that can cause people to have doubts about their faith, or can cause people to have issues about their faith. And one of those is the Bible, believe it or not. So when I was thinking about the Bible and what it means to a pastor and the many different ways that Scripture can be used, I was reminded of a story about a new pastor. And he came to a church and he decided to go out and to visit in the homes of his new congregation. At one house, it seemed pretty obvious to him that, you know, someone was home. And so he walked up and he knocked and no one came to the door. Hey, that happens sometimes. I know you're home, but you're not letting me in. And so the pastor took out his card and he wrote on the back Revelation 3:20 and stuck that under the door. In case you don't know, Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." See, this is when it's important to know your Bible. So the next Sunday rolls around. He didn't think a whole lot more about it. The offering plates come back at the end of the service, and his card is in the offering plate. But somebody has written another scripture verse on it, Genesis 3:10, which is this: "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, for I was naked." Again, it pays to know your Bible. But no, the Bible is an important part of our faith. Let me see a show of hands. How many of you own at least one Bible in any form, print or digital? Yeah, most of us do. I got to tell you, I have a big collection of Bibles, which is probably no real surprise to you. And most of them are in a box in my garage right now because I mostly use digital Bibles, either on my computer or on my phone for everything. But the Bible is pretty common, not just for Christians, but for most people in our culture to own. It's been the best-selling book year after year after year for a very long time. Get this, each year, around 20 million Bibles are sold. 20 million Bibles. That breaks down to around 54,000 Bibles sold each day. On top of that, you have around 115,000 Bibles given away each day around the world. That's a lot of scripture. That's a lot of the Word of God. As Christians, we view the Bible not just as a book, which it clearly is a book, right? Printed on paper, bound. But we also view the Bible as the Word of God. We recognize it as a source of comfort, a source of wisdom, and a source of authority in matters of faith. For me, I read the Bible pretty much every single day. Again, probably not a huge surprise to most of you. Although, maybe to some of you, you're like, "Oh, that's where he's getting those sermons from?" But we'll digress. But if I'm honest, a lot of that reading that I do has to do with sermon preparation. Again, some of you might be surprised about that. And stuff to do with the church. You know, still, I'm pretty familiar with the Bible. And as you can probably guess, I kind of like it. And my guess is some of you kind of like it too. That's why I was surprised, and maybe you're surprised also, to find out that the Bible regularly makes the list of the most challenged books in public and school libraries. Now, some of this comes from people who just, don't find Christianity to their liking. But most of the time, the objections to the Bible seems to stem from some of the stories which contain violence or abuse and negative depictions of women and other minority groups in society. Even some longtime Christians can read certain parts of the Bible and be bothered by it. They feel as if maybe the Bible contains parts that seem to conflict with what we are taught about the life and the example of Jesus. For instance, there are multiple stories in the Old Testament which contain a lot of violence. Violence which seems to be sanctioned by God. Some portions of Scripture have been used over the years to support slavery, such as Ephesians 6, 5 through 7, or Colossians 3, 22. There's also a number of commands and teachings in Scripture that portray women in subordinate roles to men, such as 1 Timothy 2:12, 1 Corinthians 14:34, or even Ephesians 5, 22 and 23. And for some, passages such as these have really led them to doubt their own faith. Now, I have to stop there and give you a story about this week, and maybe a little bit of reasoning why Nancy isn't going to be here next week. It's because I was reading this about certain portions, talking about women and women needing to submit. And so I decided to try that out. And I kept walking into Nancy's office all week going, "Nancy, submit! Submit!" To which I got, "I will, but then you'll find yourself doing your own bulletin." And she really isn't going to be here this week, but it has nothing to do with that. She's told me that for sure. So let's talk about this for a couple of minutes here. And let's begin with a fundamental question. What is the Bible? See, in our tradition, we say that the Bible is the inspired word of God. Mainline Christians, denominations such as United Methodist, Lutheran, Presbyterian, United Church of Christ, Episcopal, American Baptist, and as well as Roman Catholic and Orthodox, we all generally believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God. Okay? But that humans wrote every word in it, right? The Bible, contrary to what I believed when I was a little kid, didn't just fall from the sky bound in gorgeous Corinthian leather one day. It was written by dedicated believers under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says this: "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Right? So the Bible was written by dedicated believers under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And this has made this book different than other books, right? It's not just a book that somebody wrote some good ideas. This is the inspired word of God. Passage reminds me of Genesis chapter 2 when when God breathed into Adam the breath of life, or how God breathed into the Old Testament prophets what he wanted them to say to his people. God breathed into the writers of the Bible what he wanted them to know, what he wants us to know, what he wants you to know. Now, of course, the biblical authors were not perfect, but flawed individuals. David, to whom many of the Psalms are attributed, violated pretty much all of the Ten Commandments at one point or another. Paul, who wrote a big section of the New Testament, stood with approval when Stephen was stoned to death. Peter denied Jesus 3 times on the night he was arrested. Nevertheless, God inspired them to write. God inspired their writings. Because see, God can use anyone if they are open to the movement of the Holy Spirit. When we read the Bible, it's also important for us to remember that it was written by people, and therefore it reflects the understanding of the authors, which were based on their experience of the world. It's also important for us to understand that the Bible is not a single book, but a collection of smaller books written by dozens of people over the course of more than 1,000 years. Think of it as a library where the earliest writings date to maybe 1200 BC and the latest books of the New Testament around the year AD 100. So while much of what we find in the Bible reflects the worldview and the understanding of the ancient Israelite and the Jewish culture, there can be a lot of different understandings, ethics, and cultural practices represented in these writings that range over a period of 13 centuries. So that's why sometimes when you read something in the New Testament, it seems a little bit different than maybe something you're reading in Genesis. Well, there's a big gap of time between those two parts of the Bible. It doesn't make one better than the other. It just makes them a little bit different. You know, when I think of the problems that some people have with the Bible, it occurs to me that a lot of it, well, it's really the stories in the Old Testament that sometimes people find troubling. One that comes to mind is 2 Kings 2, 23 through 25. Now, this might not be a verse passage you have ever heard a sermon on. I would be surprised if you have. And it is a story involving the prophet Elisha. And this particular passage was one that I like to use with the kids because they find it kind of silly. Unfortunately, I was helping some kids a few years ago do Youth Sunday, and the teens were trying to find an interesting verse to base their Sunday around, and they decided that this was it. Now, in case you're not familiar with the story in 2 Kings 2, 23 through 25, let me read this to you. From there, Elisha went up to Bethel, and as he was walking along the road, some boys came out of town and jeered at him. "Get out of here, Baldy," they said. "Get out of here, Baldy." Yes, a group of teens showed up and were making fun of Elisha being bald. For those of us who are follically challenged, we feel Elisha's pain. So he turned around, he looked at them, and he called down a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And then 2 bears came out of the woods and attacked 42 of the boys. And he went on to Mount Carmel and from there returned to Samaria. Now, I don't know about you, but wanting to call 2 bears on a group of teenage boys, come on, who hasn't wanted to do that? Right? Now, I talked the kids out of not focusing their worship service on that. But that's kind of an odd story, isn't it? And for some people, it can lead them to, you know, having a problem with the Bible. And you know, I understand that. But what I think we need to do as Christians is to understand that there's a context for that story, and that a lot of what we find in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, is descriptive, not prescriptive. In other words, God's not wanting us to go out and to find a group of teenagers and call down bears to attack them. Although, boy, do we want to sometimes. Right? So, what can we do, or how can we help people who are having trouble with parts of the Bible? Well, what I like to say is that when I read the Old Testament, I kind of see it as the prelude to Jesus. How many of you like Star Wars? Don't be afraid. We're all friends. You can admit it. I see the Old Testament as the prequel trilogy. It's given you the background to really the star of the show, Jesus. But in order to understand why we need Jesus, you kind of have to know what came before. And so when I read the Old Testament, besides getting a lot of good things out of it, I also see it as a way of explaining where Jesus came from, why we needed Jesus, what Jesus' purpose was and is. Now, are there some things in the Bible that don't make a lot of sense? Yes. Are there some stories in the Bible that you may find troubling? Sure. But it's also describing humanity's walk with God, which hasn't always been flowers and ladybugs, right? So that's how I view the Old Testament. And what I like to tell people is this. Read the Bible through the lens of Jesus, right? Read it through the lens of Jesus. And understand that Jesus, his life, his ministry, was not to erase the Old Testament or to erase what came before, but to be a fulfillment of it, right? Jesus said he was a fulfillment of all that this that came before him, right? And if you ever have a question about, wow, what is the Bible really telling me here? Think of this. Jesus said that you can sum up basically the whole gospel in love God, love your neighbor as yourself, right? So think of it that way. Now, does that mean that there aren't going to be times where you're scratching your head, not sure what's going on? No. But that's kind of the mystery of faith. The Bible is God's word. God's word is the is God's loving self-revelation to us that helps us to know God, to know who we are, to know where we're going, to know how to get there. And so when we read the Bible, know that this is a gift from God. Know that it is how we can know what we're supposed to be doing, what we're supposed to be doing, where we're supposed to be going, and know that Jesus is the living embodiment of all that is in here. Okay? So know that you can trust the Bible. You can use it. It's a gift to us all. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the Bible, for it being a gift to us. And Lord, we know that for some, that the Bible can be troubling. Some of the passages don't make sense, and we want to know why they're there, and we don't understand. Lord, allow your Spirit to open our hearts and our minds to your word. And Lord, help us to be able to really dig into your word and to use it as your roadmap in life and serving you and loving you. Thank you for revealing yourself to us through your holy scriptures, we pray. Amen.